today that this may not all strictly fit into what we would categorize as sermon. So if you think of it more as Pastor Steph's nerdy church moment first, and then we'll get to the sermon eventually. It is really the 12th day of Christmas. The Christmas season begins on December 25th, and we have been counting since then, landing here on the 5th of January. Tomorrow is the Feast of Epiphany, when we celebrate the story from Scripture of the Magi coming from far away to visit the Christ child. And some of our Christian neighbors, especially our Orthodox neighbors, celebrate January 6th as their primary gift-giving day, where the kings came opening their chests of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So I started this week trying to compose a parody of the 12 Days of Christmas song for all of you that would recap the Gospel of Mark that we're starting to study now, but my excuse is that my kids have been home from school, so that didn't get finished. But in this season, this turn we're making in the church year is an important one. As we were leading up to Christmas, we were very consciously lighting a new candle on our Advent wreath each week and talking about the light growing in the darkness as we prepared to again celebrate the birth of the Christ child and the light that God brings into the world. The Christmas season, the 12 days that we've been in, are this deep acknowledgement that God became flesh and dwelt among us. That God loves us so much that God would take on both the brutal, that's actually a word that one author used, the beautiful and brutal things that are part of being human. Because there are some amazing things about being a human being, and there are some really painful things as well. And now as we move into this season of Epiphany, the season after the Epiphany feast, we're also thinking about Christ's light in the world. But not so much a light growing to fill the darkness of the space where we are, but much more Christ's light moving out into the world around us. I have this wonderful opportunity on Christmas Eve because where I sit, that when you all light those candles and we sing Silent Night, I get to watch the light spread all over our sanctuary. It's a beautiful sight to see. We take down every other artificial light that we have, and we sit there in the light of these tiny flickering candles. And as we continue to move through the world as Christ's people, this is a world that still needs our tiny flickering lights, the tiny flickering light of Christ within and among us. My kids have been off of school, so I've been kind of centered on my own little home, but I know that there are hard things all over the world around us. There are places where creation is groaning and crying out, like with the bushfires in Australia. And I think about our Jewish neighbors who experienced violence during a Hanukkah celebration before Christmas. I think about the continued conversations that just seem to be about how different and divided we are instead of how connected we are. So as we move into this time of the year, as we continue to gather as Christ's people during the season of Epiphany, capping it right now with our 12th day of Christmas and then moving between now and Ash Wednesday, I want you to think about your tiny flickering light going into the world. Sometimes we're going to have to shield it from the fear and judgment and isolation that's so much a part of our world. But this is about Christ's light moving all over the world that God has made and that God deeply loves. As we do this, as we carry those flickering lights, we're starting our study in the Gospel of Mark. And this is probably still church nerdy moment. I'm really excited about this. I took a seminary class about the Gospel of Mark, and I'm just going to go back and read all my notes and share it all with you. The Gospel of Mark, as you heard me read those first 20 verses, you probably noticed how much is packed in there. That in 20 verses, we began with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then we met John the Baptist, who was in the wilderness baptizing, baptism of repentance. Jesus comes to be baptized by John. The heavens are torn open. God speaks to Jesus. The Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness where sees wild beasts and angels. He starts his public ministry and calls the disciples in 20 verses. The men's breakfast yesterday talked about this as the Cliff Notes version of the gospel. Mark doesn't add details. We're not going to get narrator commentary or explanation of a parable. We are going to very clearly and succinctly see Jesus' ministry move in these 16 chapters. The pace of Mark's gospel is key. I think about pace when I am out running. I used to think of myself just as a lady who runs sometimes, but I'll claim it now, I'm a runner. And when I run, I set my watch to record my run. I get to close my little rings and get that, endorphin hit of accomplishing something. But my watch will also tell me my pace of my run. And I don't do this because I'm getting any faster. I do this because it's kind of interesting to see what it is that affects how quickly I'm moving. I have discovered that I run faster in the dark. I think maybe I'm worried about the critters that might be out there with me and my dog on a given Louisville pre-dawn morning. I also don't run very fast on Sunday afternoons. I cover a lot of ground up here, and I think that maybe I wear myself out a bit doing that. But it's interesting to think about what it is that shapes the pace of my movement through the world. And as Mark is telling the story of Jesus to us, one of the primary things shaping his pace is that this gospel was written just about 30, 35 years after the resurrection story. And the Roman Empire that hung Jesus on a cross and had pulled all of their strings of power to try to scare Jesus' followers are still worried that the story of Jesus and the light of Jesus and the love of Jesus is moving through their world. And they are persecuting and rejecting that story. So any of Jesus' followers who want to tell the story of Jesus are going to do it as quickly and efficiently as they can. Whether they're copying down the 16 chapters or whether it's being relayed orally between people, the point is to be clear about who it is that Jesus is among us. But even with not mincing words, Mark doesn't let us off the hook. He starts his gospel by saying, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which is a pot-stirring first sentence for that first century of the Christian movement growing. Because to call someone the Christ means that they are the anointed one. The word is Christ in Greek and Messiah in Hebrew. And to call someone the anointed means that this person has God's special favor and attention and power. And then to ascribe to that anointed also the title of Son of God is to usurp the title that the Caesar would want to claim for himself, that the kings are the ones who want to be the chosen, anointed, powerful of God, not this guy who was hung on a cross to die. Mark's gospel pushes us rapidly through the growth of Jesus's public ministry, and you're going to hear words like immediately, suddenly, and then. And that word and, which I was taught growing up was not supposed to start a sentence, really is all over the Gospel of Mark. It's this link. Mark is telling the story of Jesus knowing he is only the beginning of the telling. And then this happens, and this other person is called, and this healing spreads, and the news of Jesus' work in the world is getting farther and bigger. Those little flickering candles are moving everywhere. And we have a link into Jesus' story. When we get to Easter, we will see that the resurrection story is not tied up in a nice little happy bow. It is open-ended, carrying all the emotions that we can imagine happening when you watch your teacher be killed and then 3 days later find the tomb empty. And is what we get to be in the story. We too are linked in to all that is unfolding, to the Spirit pushing Jesus into the wilderness, to the Spirit pulling people toward him as his ministry grows. We are part of the story. In the middle of these rapidly moving 20 verses to start the gospel is a key moment that I think that Jesus, the Anointed One, must have returned to over and over again. Mark describes who Jesus is to us and doesn't give us a birth story or a story of magi coming from far away. He gives